good afternoon. The Secretary General and President Poroshenko will make short statements, and then we will have time for just one question for each of them. Secretary General.
Good afternoon. We have just concluded a meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission with President Petro Poroshenko. We reviewed the security situation in Ukraine. We reaffirmed NATO's enduring support for Ukraine and our cooperation with Kyiv, and we welcome the Ukrainian government's plan for reform. Allies are united in their support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. We do not and we will not recognize Russia's illegal and illegitimate annexation of Crimea, and we condemn Russia's deliberate destabilization of eastern Ukraine. Where ceasefire violations occur on a daily basis, often with equipment banned under the Minsk agreements, and with casualties every day. We call on Moscow to end its political, military, and financial support for the separatists. All parties must fully implement the Minsk agreements and work towards a diplomatic negotiated solution. Despite the challenges of the ongoing conflict, Ukraine has committed to major reforms and efforts to counter corruption. Implementing these reforms is essential. NATO is helping with advice and targeted support to make Ukraine's defense and security institutions more effective, efficient, and accountable. This is the purpose of the comprehensive assistance package that we endorsed today. The trust funds we set up at our last summit are already assisting Ukraine in areas such as cyber defense, logistics, and the rehabilitation of wounded soldiers. In the future, we will work on other areas as well. For instance, to counter threats from improvised explosive devices and from hybrid warfare. An independent, sovereign, and stable Ukraine, firmly committed to democracy and the rule of law, is key to Euro-Atlantic security. Mr. President, NATO is committed to helping Ukraine achieve that goal. In a moment, I will pass the floor to you. But first, let me thank the Polish government and the people of Warsaw for hosting this landmark summit. Over the past 2 days, we have taken decisions to strengthen our deterrence and our defense, and we have set out plans to project stability beyond our borders, working even more closely with partners like Ukraine. And we have set out plans to implement those decisions, and we are committed to making sure that these plans become reality, and that NATO remains a fundamental source of security for our people and stability for the wider world. So, once again, President Petro Poroshenko, it has been a great pleasure to host you, to have you here at the NATO summit, and also to have a meeting in the NATO-Ukraine Commission. We have met several times in Brussels, in Kyiv, in Ukraine, and now also at this summit here in Warsaw. So I think our meetings, the summit we just ended, are expressions of the same strong united message: NATO stand in solidarity with Ukraine. So please, you have the floor.
Thank you very much indeed, dear Secretary General, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to thank Secretary General Stoltenberg and Polish President Duda for the brilliant organization of the summit, of the discussion, and the commission of the NATO-Ukraine. I want to confirm that on the commission it was absolutely unique atmosphere of the solidarity, transatlantic solidarity, unity, and solidarity with Ukraine. We had very frank, open, and constructive talks between true friends partners and, Mr. Secretary General, de facto allies. Ukraine enjoyed a special place at this NATO summit in Warsaw. I think this is very symbolic that 61 years ago, Warsaw was the place of the Warsaw Pact, and today we have Warsaw as a place where we have a NATO summit. I find important also that today we mark the anniversary of Ukraine-NATO Charter on the distinguished partnership. We highly appreciate the decision to have summit of Ukraine-NATO Commission established by this charter on these very days 19 years ago. And it is very symbolic that today we have also taken a decision to further enhance NATO-Ukraine distinctive partnership. In particular, we agreed to launch a process which will allow Ukraine to receive a status enhanced opportunity partner. This status envisaged deepened security relations and ensured stronger interoperability with the NATO allies. This decision demonstrates that NATO stands firmly for Ukraine. We also assessed results of reform conducted in Ukraine so far, in particular in defense and security sector, in fighting against corruption, in macroeconomic stability, and we were pleased to have a very strong voice of support with the very positive estimation of the results which is already achieved by Ukrainian people, Ukrainian government, Ukrainian authorities. We also welcomed the new strategic defense bulletin of Ukraine, which has developed a close cooperation within NATO, and actually this is the roadmap for the reform of the defense and security sector in Ukraine. I was glad to hear from my NATO colleagues a positive assessment of many things which Ukraine have done under challenging circumstances of the Russian hybrid war, of the Russian annexation, illegal annexation of the Crimea, and Russian aggression in the east of my country. We have a very strong message that all member states are never recognized the illegal annexation and strong together in support Ukraine in fighting against aggression. I can assure that we will continue a comprehensive reform, including the national defense and security sector, as well as armed forces to bring in the line with NATO standard and to achieve interoperability with NATO forces, as it mentioned with the Strategic Defense Bulletin, by the year 2020. It was also important to me to get from NATO a strong commitment on support to Ukraine in increasing our defense capability. The comprehensive assistance package, which was unanimously voted in the Commission, was very ambitious document, which it is very important to Ukraine, to me. It is a valuable tool to assist us in meeting that objective. This is a unique package. Never ever in the history of NATO such a solid and substantial support for the mid-term perspective was provided to the partner country. It provides consolidated material and practical assistance in 40 areas, mainly addressing defense capability of Ukraine, security sector, and defense sector of my country. Such assistance to Ukraine will be provided through the 8 special trust fund, one of which on demining was launched today, 5 special capability building programs, a number of the bilateral programs, so on. For the proper coordination of this activity, the number of NATO advisors in Ukraine will be increased, including the deployment of the special coordinator on alliance. Today we discuss adaptation to the new security environment and Russian aggression as a common challenge to the Euro-Atlantic security. We identify ways how we will further addressing that challenge. We discussed security situation of Ukraine and means of further pressure on Russia to force it to abandon an aggressive policy against our country and NATO member states. We share a common understanding that Russia is fully responsible for the losing a momentum in the implementation of Minsk Agreement, as well as for the grave violation of the human rights both in Crimea, and I want to say it particularly, and in Donbass. All above mentioned is reflected to the joint statement of the Ukraine-NATO Commission, which we also adopted today. Having discussed the Crimean issue, I remind once again that the Russian aggression started with the occupation of Crimea and could be ended only with Crimea deoccupation. That is why it is so important to launch the international mechanism of the deoccupation of Crimea as soon as possible. We agreed that it is our common responsibility to change Russia's aggressive behavior, including by further motivation of Russia by the sanction. To achieve this goal, we have to demonstrate unity, solidarity, and strong dedication to our common principles and values. We are grateful that NATO stands by Ukraine, continues supporting politically and assisting practically. I am convinced that in this atmosphere, in Ukraine-NATO relations will continue and look into the future with an optimism. It was some few proposals that we should provide the Ukraine-NATO Commission on the regular basis together with the NATO summit. We really support this proposal, and I want to thank you for the attention, and I am ready to take your questions. Thank you.
So we'll start with Unian, please, in the fifth row. Just one question, please, Irina.
Thank you, news agency Unian, Irina Sommer. Secretary General, yesterday during expert forum, you've got a question about some kind of signal from allies to review Bucharest decision on the future membership of Ukraine. I would like to know your opinion. If it will happen, will it calm down Russia? Sorry for a second.
No, I'm sorry. I'm afraid that's all we have time for.
Sorry.
Thank you.
President Poroshenko made it clear in our meeting that the question of membership is not currently on the agenda. The focus now is how Ukraine can meet NATO standards, how Ukraine can implement reforms, and how we can increase the interoperability between Ukrainian forces and NATO forces. And that's exactly also the focus of the comprehensive assistance package, of the cooperation between NATO and Ukraine, how we can help Ukraine moving forward when it comes to modernizing, reforming, and meeting NATO standards. So that is the focus. That is where we are working now. And that is the purpose of the decisions we have taken today. So we will continue to provide strong political support, practical support for Ukraine, enabling them to move forward. And then we have to address the question about membership at a later stage. Let me underline one additional point, and that is that for NATO, it is an it's an absolute principle which we all attach great importance to, and that is that every nation has the right to decide its own path, including, of course, Ukraine. And whether Ukraine is going to become a member of NATO or not, it's something which is for Ukraine and the 28, soon to be 29, allies to decide. No one else has the right to try to intervene or to veto such a process.
Financial Times. Thanks. Yes, over there.
Thank you. This is a question for President Poroshenko. Sam Jones, Financial Times. When you hear President Hollande say that Russia should be treated as a partner, not an adversary, and Foreign Minister Steinmeier criticizing NATO's activities, exercises in the east of the alliance, what message do you think that sends to the Kremlin? What do you think Mr. Putin thinks about that, and what does it mean for NATO's credibility and the credibility of their stance with regard to Ukraine?
Look, first of all, by the way, I want to add something to the previous answering to the previous question. We have decision of the Bucharest summit in year 2008, which is confirmed that the door of NATO is open for every nation, as the Secretary General told. And we consider that this is the, now we have to make a necessary reform. We work hard. I think that we do during the last 2 years much more than for the previous 20 years. And this reform brings us closer to the criteria. And then Ukrainian people will decide what we'll do further. But today, we have significantly increased number of Ukrainians who support our NATO membership. If 2 years ago it was 13%, today is more than 53%. And that is real results of the change in the society in Ukraine. Answering your question, I think that the, again, I only can confirm that atmosphere which was on today with the, by the way, presence of President Hollande and Minister Steinmeier together with the Chancellor, we have a full support demonstrating by all member states, including Germany and France, for the Ukrainian position, for the sanction, and for the motivation by sanction, Russian Federation to implement all the obligation they have under Minsk Agreement. There is no any other alternative. I want to remind you that the Minsk Agreement has the name that this is a peace plan of President Poroshenko. And for that, Russia should undertake and implement the security precondition, ceasefire, disengagement, withdrawal of the Russian troops and Russian weapons from the occupied territory, uninterrupted access of the special monitoring mission of the OSCE. I think it would be extremely helpful, the armed police mission of the OSCE, just to fix and guarantee the security demands we have now. We immediately release all the political prisoners and hostages, because Nadia Savchenko, who were present as a member of my delegation today, is just only very first tiny example, but all others, we have more than 40 in Russian prison and more than 120 in the prisons of the occupied territory in absolutely unprecedented humanitarian condition. With that situation, we're talking about the values, and I'm absolutely sure that values keep us united. Values of European Union, freedom, democracy, and I think that Russia should be implemented immediately all their obligation under Minsk. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This concludes this joint press point. Thank you very much for all your work during the summit. Thank you.